RadioInfluence.com.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to the Monday edition of the Dark Delight Podcast with
Mi scusi, Val.
Ooh.
And
Beans. That was nice.
Yeah, I watched Euro Trip a couple of times over the weekend. Brought me back. It's really something else. Most of the people in this audience would not like that film because it's too raunchy, but a lot of you would. And I want to make the point tonight that this film, this movie, this high school graduation, college road trip, sex, drugs, rock and roll, really juvenile kind of a film, has actually become a little bit of a time capsule for what Europe was, what we saw Europe as being as Americans. And of course, I mean, it's so many things, so many cultural norms that have been destroyed since 2004. And it was something else, Tracy. You ever see it?
No.
You remember? Okay. Scotty doesn't know.
Yeah, I do. I remember.
It's a juvenile film, but I was watching it with Lauren over the weekend just to put something completely shallow on, and just to chill out. And I was just surprised. I miss 2004. I miss this so much. It was only a free. Oh, well, it was a couple of years after 9/11, but still, we were so much more free of mind.
Yeah, I know, and able to actually express ourselves. Like, for example, today, I couldn't get over this, Frank. I really couldn't. The New York Times. So we know what's going on over in Cuba, right?
Yes.
There's basically a revolution going on right now. People are done. They're in the streets, millions of them. I have friends who have family there who are involved in this and are just hell-bent on fixing their country. And the New York Times tweets out this morning, are you ready?
Well, I know they stepped in dog shit last night.
What did they do last night?
Well, last night, let me get it up, because I had it set aside for, where the hell is it? Government agencies. Oh. Yeah. Wait, where the hell is it? Ventura. Government agencies. Where the hell? I might have it up in my notes. Oh wait, hold on. I can go to my Twitter.
Okay.
Here's what they said. They said this. This is from 4:40 p.m. yesterday afternoon. Shouting freedom and other anti-government slogans.
This is what I was going to talk about.
Hundreds of Go ahead then. Go ahead. It's the same thing.
It says shouting quote freedom and other anti-government slogans. We could just stop there.
Yep, because then all you have to do is go into the comments, and all of these lefties who are American true believers in communism and don't want this to be yet another example of the shortcomings of collectivism and totalitarian government, because they love it so much. He says, if you think that freedom is anti-government, you're telling yourself off, says one idiot with a smirk. Here's another one saying, imagine thinking calls for freedom is anti-government. Freedom is a good thing. Have no idea what this headline is aiming for, says another lefty who just doesn't like to see a communist regime fall apart under the weight of its own bullshit again. Here's another one. Here's another one from Anno Kuma, says freedom. And of course, it's in quote, freedom is an anti-government slogan, said the NYT, letting the mask slip again. I said, what mask is that?
Yeah, they're not even wearing a mask anymore.
I mean, what? Are you trying to say that the New York Times is a secret libertarian organization? Why? Because they dared to report on more communist shortfalls without sugarcoating it for the children here in the United States who believe that communism, collectivism on a federal giant level works. They can't even run an island. They want to do this across a country, a union the size of a subcontinent.
I think it's just more telling of where this propaganda and programming lies here in the United States. Like, trying now to say that freedom is anti-government in the United States of America is something else. And everyone's like, well, they were talking about the fact that it's anti-government there. And I'm like, no, they weren't. Give me a break.
It's the same thing wherever you put it. I mean, you ask any Cuban refugee, an immigrant, they know what they fled. It's only, you know, like everybody else who comes here, it's a couple of generations after they arrive you got to worry about, because they've already been exposed to two generations of American schools.
You know
which
what's,
is a hard...
what's crazy, Frank?
What?
That the immigrants who came here legally will maybe end up being the people that saved this place?
I root it on all the time.
Yeah.
I really do. I mean, I remember the night, it was election night, and it was, I don't know, maybe around 9:30, 10 o'clock, around there. It was around, at latest, 10:30. It was about an hour before they closed all the lights and closed the curtains and said, no, we have to pack it in for the night. At that point, we saw Florida was just insane. It was just such a big, big, healthy win. And they still wouldn't call it and all that. But we saw all these things happening. At that time, Trump was still winning Virginia by hundreds of thousands of votes. Mm-hmm. We're like, what the hell's going on here? But when it came to Florida, I said, ladies and gentlemen, when this thing is called, we got to start making the hashtag Kiss a Cuban trend tomorrow. Mm-hmm. Hashtag Kiss a Cuban. Because, this was just, you can tell. And it was smashing everything. It was smashing the media narratives, it was smashing all of the ideological nonsense about what this country needs to be and how Latino people see government and you know.
Don't say Latino. You have to say Latinx.
Latinx, La Kleenex.
I mean,
people.
Seriously.
Yeah. So, but that, of course, that didn't happen. They gave us the hook at 11:30, and everybody went down the shitter.
And then, you know, the FBI came out yesterday also, Frank.
Rat on your friends?
Family members and peers are often best positioned to witness signs of mobilization to violence. Help prevent homegrown violent extremism. Visit this link to learn how to spot suspicious behaviors and report them to the FBI. Now, before you say what you were going to say, this tweet has 4,500 retweets and 8,500 comments. It's ratioed to all hell, but go ahead.
I was going to say, you know that in the old Soviet Union, that if you were to rat and inform on your neighbors and they are taken away and apprehended, you actually can lay claim to their house. You can actually get their house if they're thrown in jail.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Look at this. I'm sending you something in text message right now, Frank. It's the mobilization indicators brochure.
Mobilization indicators brochure.
Look at the cover.
The hell is that? Is that the Pulse nightclub?
Yep.
So what the hell are they... What are they talking about?
This is how you can identify homegrown people next to you, your neighbors and stuff, and what they're going to do.
So then Muslim immigrants or second generation, I think they said the second generation radicalization, they warn for with that.
They have group A through D or through C, I'm sorry. Group A is highly diagnostic on their own, meaning that you don't really need anything else to know what their deal is. Group B is moderately diagnostic on their own, requiring one or more other indicators to gain diagnosticity. And group C is minimally diagnostic on their own, requiring several other indicators to gain diagnosis. In other words, if you have a Lego set of the Capitol in your house, perhaps you fit into group C.
Or perhaps if we can't tell on the surface whether or not you're an extremist, but we definitely don't like you, so we're going to have to keep digging.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So pretty much another old Soviet trope, give me the man and I'll find you the crime.
Yes, and there's also time sensitivity criteria. Imminent concern, near-term concern, and long-term concern, i.e. months or years before a violent act. So anybody that starts reading the Constitution, Frank, might be in group three of long-term concern.
This came out in 2019?
Yeah. So here's a couple of the things here. If you look on page six, preparing and disseminating a martyrdom video statement or last will. Seeking religious or political justification for a planned violent act. Attempting to mobilize others to violence, especially family members and peers. Seeking help from family, peers, or authority figures to enable travel to join terrorist groups overseas. So now they're looking at that. But that's only group A. Group B has more. Suspiciously obtaining or attempting illegally or otherwise, Frank, to obtain explosive precursors. Simulating an attack or dry run with focus on other local or real world targets. So basically any training exercise the FBI does then.
Oh yeah.
Surveilling potential targets. Inquiring about jobs that provide sensitive access. Conducting research for target or tactic selection. Suspicious sending of financial resources, electronic equipment, or survivalist gear to people or groups overseas. This is before they were all domesticated. Then the C, the group, there's like 30 of them in group B. But group C is interesting to me. Suspicious or illegal acquisition of weapons and or ammunition. Unusual purchase of military-style tactical equipment other than weapons, like PPE and body armor. Suspicious, unexplained, or unusual physical or weapons training. So don't go to a class. Conducting suspicious financial transactions. Who would know that? Disposing of personal assets in an unusual manner. Unusual goodbyes or post-death instructions to family and peers. Promoting violent extremist narratives. Like, it's us versus them. Engaging in outbursts or fights with family, peers, or authority figures while advocating violent extremist ideology. Isolation. Rejecting nonviolent voices in favor of violent extremist ideologues. Dehumanizing people who are not in the identity group. Doesn't this sound like the left?
Many ways, yes. But they don't see that, Tracy. They don't see any of this stuff.
I think that the right should start reporting their family members on the left who've been radicalized by leftism.
Right, and then they'll say that their reporting centers are being trolled by people. Mm. Then because it can only have ever gone in one way. That's just the way it is. That homunculus, that distorted face freak, Lena Wen.
Oh, we're going to talk about her. Shoot, we're going to talk about her.
I hate her. I hate her. Every time she speaks, my skin crawls. So I'm going to. I hate her.
So you know the Washington. It's hard to explain who he is. The gentleman who did all the work on his name is like impossible to pronounce on Telegram. Boomji, boomji. He's listening and laughing right now. Did all the work on a lot with the Flynn case and Bijan and all them and. I think it's the Washington Pundit. I always get it messed up. But he shared last night in the Dark to Light Telegram room that this one, I didn't know if you knew this. I did not put this together. I didn't realize it was the same person. This woman is remember a couple years ago, she was the president of Planned Parenthood and she was forced to resign. Do you remember that?
I remember she was with Planned Parenthood. I don't remember any of the details about resignation.
She was forced to resign because she was trying to move Planned Parenthood into healthcare for women under the guise, like more healthcare for women, like putting, advice about how to handle a cold and, you know, all that kind of stuff in to the Planned Parenthood thing and trying to like shift it away from just abortion and into more healthcare. But I was looking at it at the time and researching it because It almost seemed like she was wanting to use Planned Parenthood as like a farm for other mandated sort of medical issues like or treatments. I tied her in very, very loosely at the time to vaccination.
I don't know. And it makes perfect sense because as I've I caught a little heat. Well, I don't know, heat. Probably most of them are not even real people on Twitter yesterday for, and I was going, I have this ready for some stuff I'm doing tonight too, is when she was obviously did this whole, she's been twisting everybody's arms for a long time. Look at all these rights. Like, we need to dangle the carrot a little bit more. Look at all these rights you can have. Because she has this horrible speech impediment. There's an M at the end of everything she says.
It's horrible to listen to her. She sounds like a robot.
Well, she is. This is the type of person, the psychological profile of the people who were giddily, happily, enthusiastically passing the scalpel to Joseph Mengele and other monsters of his in history, throughout history, that were conducting any kind of human experiments on people against prison populations, whatever the hell it was. This is the same psychological makeup. Now, of course, when I say that on a place like Twitter, I have people say this is outrageous. She just wants to keep people healthy. Like, are you listening to what she's saying? She is a Nazi.
She literally. This is.
I mean, I don't care what the hell you say. All the ends justify the means. The means is take away everybody's civil liberties. Then somebody says, name one civil liberty she's talking about. I said, she's putting a price on freedom.
Literally.
She's putting a price to rejoin society. And that is to accept drugs that some people don't want, consenting adults don't want.
You know, it's funny because when she was at Planned Parenthood, she was behind the initiative called Keep Your Bans Off My Body. And the language underneath this is our bodies are our own. If they are not, we cannot be truly free or equal. Across the country, some politicians are trying to make decisions about our bodies for us. Everyone deserves health care that's free of shame, stigma, or judgment. This is literally what Planned Parenthood put out under her leadership. So here's the clip of her in case people haven't heard it.
I think this really depends on what it is that we do at this point. So now we have this Delta variant that is much more contagious. Because it's more contagious, it's going to be even harder for us to reach herd immunity. We're going to have to vaccinate an even higher proportion of people to get there. What happens then if we end up having another variant developing that's even more contagious, that could cause more disease, that could evade the protection of our immune system? And so how quickly we get this under control and which way we go depends on what we do now when it comes to vaccination, to overcoming disinformation. And what we really need to do at this point is to make vaccination the easy choice. It needs to be hard for people to remain unvaccinated. Right now, it's kind of the opposite. It's fine. I mean, it's easy if you're unvaccinated. You can do everything you want to do anyway. But at some point, these mandates by workplaces, by schools, I think it will be important to say, hey, you can opt out, but if you want to opt out, you have to sign these forms, you have to get twice weekly testing. Basically, we need to make getting vaccinated the easy choice. That is what it's going to take for us to actually end the pandemic.
Okay.
Two weeks to flatten the curve, everybody. Just always remember that. 2 weeks, 15 days, flatten it. Well, let's flatten this curve. And now here we are in middle of July 2021, and we need to twist everybody's arms. We need to, through employers and everything else, twist everybody's. It's the only way we'll be able to end this pandemic. Even though these vaccines, they say that they're not going to prevent people from contracting it and spreading it.
So here's the deal. I got a couple things on that. This is a funny video that somebody shared that basically sums it up without even, you don't even need to ask any questions after you watch this. I had it a second ago. Here it is.
Are you going to get vaccinated? I think I want to wait a bit longer. Why do you need to wait? I'm just not in a rush to get it, mate. Have you had it? Yeah, I've had it. Why are you being so selfish? How am I being selfish? Because if you get COVID, you can pass it on to me. But you've been vaccinated. Yeah, but I can still get it. So if I get vaccinated, I can still get it too. Yeah, but you should still get it because then you won't pass it on to me. But if I get vaccinated, I can still get it and still pass it on to you. Well, yeah, but you should still get it. But you can catch it off me whether I've been vaccinated or not. Yeah, but you should still get vaccinated. But why? Because it's the right thing to do. Who says? The people that make it.
Exactly.
Now, So they're doing this whole big thing. We're going to go back to the vaccine because there was a Mercola article that came out this morning that has really interesting information about a woman who spoke with the vaccine maker and what they told her on the phone. Because she has Guillain-Barré syndrome now.
Jeez. I hate those stories. I hate it. I hate it. I really do. And that's the scariest thing about talking to even just doctors about Aurora. Because, you know, everybody, we're grateful for the doctors that we talk to over here. Because they're not like some of the, I know that there are people who are just being disowned by their doctors because of not wanting to do one thing or another. But still, it's just come on down to it. They always say, well, nothing comes with, nothing comes without risk. You know, whether you're vaccinated or unvaccinated, life is unpredictable. I'm like, yeah, well, so then maybe we just err on the side of nature. I don't know. And then of course, they put the fear in everybody. And this is what's driving a lot of people, is the fear of not knowing. It's what's why so many things become very appealing to people in an open marketplace when you're dealing with shit like this. One instance, you're saying to yourself, okay, well, what if I just stick to my guns and just concentrate on boosting my immune system through good nutrition, through exercise, through, you know, good mental health, whatever, and just minding my surroundings? And what if I get it? And then I'll regret not having tried the vaccine. And then you say, well, what if I get the vaccine? And of course, you do that. There's no going back. And then all of a sudden, I have some other malady for the rest of my life.
Yeah.
Or my children. What happens if that's
reward? Yeah.
Yeah. What happens if I see any change in Aurora's person weeks after her getting any shot? I would die.
I know.
Anything.
So the thing that keeps me up at night always is if I were to make a decision that would harm my kids like that. Like these mothers who have their kids now and they're on like Ron Johnson's, you know, panel. And everybody is now mocking and demeaning them for coming out and saying this caused an injury to my child. And nobody will give me any answers. And I can't believe this is happening. Like, imagine now that how you must feel after you were parroting the party line for so long and now they've turned on you and they're like, there's no help for you. And the people that you need to go to for help are the people who were warning you the entire, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. And now you're being mocked. So now all, are you not only being mocked and the only people left who are listening to are those that you were making fun of before, but you also have a permanently injured family member.
Yeah.
And you have to, you think about that hell. Think about that hell, because at no time along in this process does anybody give a shit about anyone. And that's not even to say that people who are working at some of these pharmaceutical companies don't actually believe that they're pursuing something that could help humanity. But anybody on out there who gives people no choice in the matter and doesn't lay it all out exactly what the hell they're doing, and the lack of testing going on, and how unprecedented so many things are happening right now, and this unprecedented seizing of civil liberties on a state level. There's no love of humanity anywhere in this mix. There's a lot of pageantry though, with the nurses doing somersaults down Fifth Avenue. A lot of pageantry.
Well, interestingly, I have this Mercola article that came out that someone sent to me where I don't know this person. A lot of people are talking about this guy, Stu Peters. I don't know who he is. I don't know.
Works at InfoWars. Yeah, well, I don't know. I think he might have his own show, but he definitely has a slot at InfoWars.
Okay, I don't know anything about him. I'm not vouching for the validity or credibility of him and his information, what he presents. I don't know. So I'm not saying he's not credible. I'm just not saying he is either, because I have no idea. I just want to make that very clear. However, he does have this audio of a woman on the phone, a woman who has been injured on the phone with a Moderna rep, and what the rep says. And I think I'm at the part right now in here that I can play that will speak to your point clearly. I mean, here.
To help Moderna customer care best answer your questions, please select from the following options. If you have a general question about Moderna or Moderna COVID-19 vaccine, please press 1. If your call involves a question about a delivery you just received or a vaccine temperature excursion, please press 2.
Just press 1, lady.
If you are a healthcare professional or a consumer with a medical information inquiry about Moderna COVID-19 vaccine, please press 3 to speak with Moderna Medical Information. If you are calling with a product quality complaint,
okay, seriously?
Or to report
I didn't
an
listen
adverse
to this
event,
first.
Please press 4 to speak with Moderna Medical.
Here we go.
Okay. Hi. Thank you.
So, did you happen to have that vaccination card they gave you with the lot numbers?
Yes, I do. Let me find it here.
Basically, what ends up happening in here, so I'll put this in the show notes, but this is what happens. The Moderna rep reads this statement to her. The Moderna COVID-19 vaccine has not been approved or licensed by the Food and Drug Administration, but it has been authorized for emergency use by the FDA under an emergency use authorization to prevent coronavirus disease 2019 for use in individuals 18 years of age and older. There is no FDA-approved vaccine to prevent COVID-19. The EUA for the Moderna COVID-19 vaccine is in effect for the duration of the COVID-19 EUA declaration, justifying emergency use of the product unless that declaration is terminated or the authorization is revoked sooner. The rep also points out that all clinical trial phases are still ongoing and that long-term protective efficacy against COVID-19 is unknown. When the patient asks whether everyone who gets the COVID shot, even if they didn't specifically sign up to be a trial participant, is in fact part of the trial, he replies with a chuckle, pretty much, yeah.
You can't, and if you tell this to anybody, like I... That's the reason why I brought up Leanna Wen before you even got around to her before. And it was because the responses that I got from people who don't even know what side of what story they're on. She wants people to survive and be healthy. What else were they saying to me? I was being told what a shame and a tragedy. There's no respect for serious scientists who have devoted her life to public health. Do you not know what that means? I mean, you're comparing a proven, safe, effective pandemic-stopping vaccine with Nazi medical experimentation
yes.
horrors.
Yes.
What the hell is wrong with you? Like, yes. I said the curtailing of every civil liberty possible in order to force someone, anyone, to do something they don't want to do, you're 100% appropriate in making that comparison.
The Nazi.
Because nobody is telling you, you dumbass, to take drugs that you don't want. I mean, take whatever drugs you want to take. Nobody's stopping you, airhead. Oh, man, it's nuts. I'm just saying. You hear what they're saying. They're chuckling about it. Yes, yes, you are part of a human experimentation.
Yeah, you're part of one big trial.
You're part of a trial right there. Thank you so much, rat girl. Thanks, rat boy. You're part of a trial right now. Chuckle, chuckle, chuckle. I mean, it can come out of their mouths, and they can't put two and two together. What are we? We're just domesticated farm animals at this point. If you can't actually put pieces together when they're given to you.
The whole vaccine thing, it really, really just grates on me, Frank. It's just so shitty. Excuse my French. And the way they're talking now about this door-to-door nonsense, I mean, how many of you guys went out and bought your no trespassing sign that they're supposed to ignore? Anyone?
I didn't. I don't. I didn't.
I did. I bought it. It's something else. I don't even know. Like, oh, so this was the next point I wanted to make on this. So they're saying the whole Delta variant thing, right? They're saying that the Delta variant is the most contagious variant we've ever had. Delta, Lambda, like we're in the Revenge of the Nerds, whatever. And The CDC is saying it's the most contagious variant. It's sweeping through unvaccinated populations. There was an article that went up today about what was it? I think it was Milwaukee. I'm not sure. It was about Kansas. Was it Kansas or Milwaukee? Hold on. Missouri. It wasn't even Wisconsin. It was Missouri. So the COVID Delta variant spread quickly across Missouri in June, and some hospitals are filling up. That's BS. BS. They're basically criticizing Missouri because one doctor started saying, hey, guys, we might want to pay attention to this, blah, 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 whatever. The problem with this, Frank, is, as we've talked about on the show before, the CDC is not counting breakthrough cases of COVID in vaccinated people. So to make the statement that the Delta variant is sweeping through the unvaccinated population is an inaccurate statement, because there's no way to know if it is also sweeping through the vaccinated population.
Yeah, well, because especially since they said so long ago, it's been at least a month and a half ago now, 2 months, that they said they're not even going to look into infection rate. June?
Yeah.
Okay, so almost we're going on 2 months in a little bit, but almost they're not even looking into infection rates with those who've been vaccinated unless they went to the hospital or something like that.
Oh, it was May 1st. I'm sorry, not June. May.
So 2 months, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it says as of May, this is from the CDC's website. As of May 1st, 2021, CDC transitioned from monitoring all reported vaccine breakthrough cases to focus on identifying and investigating only hospitalized or fatal cases due to any cause. The shift will help maximize the quality of data collected on the cases of greatest clinical and public health importance. How about we stop counting cases at all unless they're in the hospital? How about that? Your numbers would plummet overnight, wouldn't they? Freaking ridiculous. And I really think they're not even going to tell us whether people are vaccinated anymore soon. That's all going to go away because they're trying to use, I think what's going to end up happening, and I'm really, really hesitant to say this, but it just seems like reading the tea leaves. I think they're going to blame a variant on the reinfection issues that people have with this. You know what I'm saying? Like, if people that were vaccinated get infected with a variant or COVID and they have serious issues, we're not going to hear that those people were vaccinated. Like the 83 cases in Israel, was it, where everybody was vaccinated and got sick?
Yeah, you're not going to hear any of that stuff. All you're going to hear is any conclusion that could be drawn that blames further escalation of anything on unvaccinated people.
I think Berenson had a tweet. I have to find it because I don't know right now. Let me just not move that tab. There was a tweet by him that said, when you have to resort to, hold on, I'm going to find it. There, you have to wonder, like, if there were a cure for cancer, would they be pushing it this hard on people?
Oh,
or a vaccine,
can you imagine that?
Yeah.
That's a great, great point. That's a great point. Great point. You think about the tens of millions who have died horrible deaths, wasting disease, and we have just had walks,
yeah,
and vigils and telethons and raising money and this and that. Like, oh well, cancer isn't contagious. This is contagious.
Mm. Mm-hmm. I'm looking for this tweet of his because it's so funny. I too many pauses today on the show. I'm going to pause it again, but too many pauses today. He says, when you've been reduced to explaining vaccines aren't a war crime, the narrative is not going your way. And the highlight here is COVID-19 vaccines do not violate the World War II era Nuremberg Code, according to fact checkers. It's true. When you've been reduced to explaining that they are not a war crime, your narrative is not going your way.
Yeah.
What do you think would happen, Frank? What, honestly, I want to know what your honest opinion of this is. What do you think would happen if all of a sudden the government said, could they do this? Do you think they'd get away with it? Do you think that there would be representatives that would stop it? You must get the COVID-19 vaccine.
I don't know. I don't know. I wish I could tell you one way or another. I feel like this. We have a better shot at seeing them actually rubber stamp an attempt to do it. I'm sure that there are plenty of people in Congress that would say no.
I think so. Too.
I really do think that we might be surprised, both Democrat and Republican. I think that Democrats who have a conscience would look at this and they would try to find a more moderate way of saying what Dr. Wen had said, where, hey, if you don't want to, no, we shouldn't do that. This is, you know, bad, whatever, Nuremberg. We're talking international human rights violations at that point, forcing medicine onto people who don't want it, and informed consent being thrown right out the window and all that stuff. And but they would probably just say, no, we have to just, you know, work with the private sector to make, you know, more pressure. That's how they would get away. They would get around just going all out. I don't think that it would actually be passed. But it doesn't mean that they're not. I mean, they're working toward every day. People like Xavier Becerra, every day they're asking the question. I saw that what was it? Headlines that was published at either CNBC or CNN. What do we do about the unvaccinated? Like we're squirrels in an attic. what do we do about those damn squirrels in the attic? Seriously, guys, what are we going to do about them? Are we going to remove them and release them in the woods, or are we going to gas them?
You know I think we need to do, honestly, I really do think this. I think that I don't want to be around vaccinated people. So what I think we need to do is have all the vaccinated people take their vaccine card and wear it proudly around their neck and parade around that way. So I know who to avoid. You want to be separated? Maybe we should make them all wear a bag over their head. Perhaps they should have their own stores to shop in.
Hey, toward the end, that is what was actually kind of an advantage with the masks, even though there's plenty of people still wearing them. So, I mean, people who are still wearing masks now are really lost forever.
I know.
You've seen those man on the street interviews with like Ari Horowitz and stuff? Ami Horowitz?
Yeah, where he's – I haven't seen them recently, no.
He did one maybe about a month ago where he went into New York City and asked people why they're still wearing the mask. And they're all just saying flat on out, I just feel comfortable with it now. And I got used to it. And my friends all do it. And they're gone.
I'm really under the mindset, Frank, that it's like survival of the fittest now. And they've literally run a Darwinism experiment on us.
Oh, yeah. Oh, the people who are living like that, they have no real value anymore. I mean, I'm sure that they can be taught to push a button and pull a lever and, I don't know, I mean, do something functional, you know, the files. I mean, everything is digital now. More and more, we're getting autonomized more and more. So I don't know. But as far as their value in creating a robust, confident, independent society, there's no value in the people that they're creating and the people that they're damaging for life. They know what they are doing for a nation's future prospects when you do this to its people. They're just trying to turn this into a gigantic daycare center. And
so sad.
Yeah.
So sad. It really is. The pro-vaccine people are just go to his Twitter, Alex Berenson. Do you guys know who he is? Do you know who he is?
Yeah. Yeah, I've seen quite a few of his threads. They're good.
He's been covering COVID from the beginning with like real honest information. I think he used to write for the New York Times, but he took that off of his profile. Good for him. I don't want to be associated with those pricks anymore. I don't blame him. I wouldn't either. Reminder, area under, the whole vaccine thing just really bothers me, as you guys know. Now let's move to election integrity, Frank.
I have Patrick Byrne coming on my show tonight.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I was going to get some updates because I was waiting to see, there's always a, hey, don't, you know, something's coming. We have a couple of weeks, and I know that the movie came out, the Mike Lindell movie came out, but I haven't heard any real big headlines.
Well, they're recounting everything in Arizona.
What do you mean recounting?
They're recounting all of the ballots again.
You mean the whole process that just went on, they're doing it over again?
They're using machines to just literally count them. They're not doing anything else other than count.
Okay, this is a separate process other than the forensic audit, like examining everything. So now that all the examinations are done, now they're going on through.
Well, they're not done yet. Well, the ballot examinations are done. They're just now counting to make sure their numbers are correct. Which leads me to believe that there is a wide discrepancy that they're triple checking on.
So, So they're examining every ballot. They're putting it under the UV lights, and they're looking through all the creases. That's all done.
Yes.
So now this count that you're talking about right now isn't exactly a tally per candidate. They just want to be able to get the total amount of votes cast again.
Yes.
Okay. So total amount of votes cast, and then after that, they'll probably start breaking it down per candidate.
I don't know. I think they're just trying to make sure they counted them correctly.
Okay.
Because they must have, I mean, this is just what I think. They must have a discrepancy that they're trying to confirm. Like, there were supposed to be X number of ballots, but when we counted, we only got X number of ballots. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, where are the missing ballots? Or why do we have extra ballots? Or did we count wrong? Which... I really don't think it's choice three. So they're going through that now. So they brought in machines to do that. And that's one thing. So definitely ask him about that and see what he knows.
All right, I'll ask him.
Let me know.
Just trying to. Yeah, I have a few other things I want to ask him there too. But speaking of election, that popped into my head because you're bringing up the election.
Yeah.
So go ahead.
Well, that's good to know. I mean, I'll definitely listen.
So yeah. And also anything else that you think of that would be good follow ups and stuff, send it my way.
Yeah, I will.
Because
Patrick, he's easy to talk to.
Oh, I know, absolutely. But you also, you know, your mind produces 15 relevant questions a minute when it comes to that stuff. You don't even think about it. I need to do a little bit of planning. I got to weed out my thoughts. You fire them out. So
there's one thing I'm good for, I guess. Questions.
Yeah, of course.
So there's that. And then there's Pennsylvania. I think Biden is on his way out to Pennsylvania, Frank, to make sure that people know what a human rights abuse it is to want to do an audit in that state.
Oh, yeah. It'll be fun just to watch him try to say it.
Yeah.
I have a great time. Every time he gets behind a microphone, I mean, I know that you have to just put aside whatever he's going to try, whatever kind of message he's going to try to convey. And I just sit back and I love watching him just try to talk. It's pretty fun.
It is. It's entertaining, isn't it?
Yeah.
Watch Biden speak.
Or to try, like I said, try to speak. It's funny.
Ridiculous. So he's going out there. He just made a little pit stop in Antrim, Michigan. Now he's going out to Philly, I believe, to make sure that everybody knows not to tread on him.
Don't tread on me, please.
Wonder if he'll be headed out to Georgia next. Or maybe Wisconsin. Who knows?
Ridiculous. With the true governor, Stacey Abrams.
Yes. Yes, the governor who actually won. Have you seen anything about Gillum?
No, not since they found him, you know, face down in his own vomit.
Okay. Just wondering.
Yeah.
Also, did you happen to see President Trump at the UFC match?
Oh, yeah. I saw Mel Gibson, Saint Gibson. I saw him salute the president.
Did he really?
Oh, yeah. He was in the crowd, and he saluted him as he walked by. It's like, is that Mel Gibson? Yep.
Seriously?
Oh, yeah. Mel Gibson was there.
So I have a serious question. Did you ever see Barack Obama go to an event like this or any kind of event after he was president and get that kind of reaction?
No. First of all, Barack Obama go to a sport? Like what? What sport?
Basketball?
Yeah. Oh, no, I don't know. I don't think so. I then again, maybe I wasn't paying attention. But I don't know. Donald Trump is he's made for football games and UFC and baseball and all that. He can actually throw a ball. Everybody else is just these pathetic noodle-armed men, you know. So it's just more appropriate for him to be there anyway.
Did you see how tall Barron is now?
Barron is 18 and a half feet tall.
He's 6'7". He's 15.
What? Wait. 6'7"?
He's 6'7".
I had a theory, and this is, I have absolutely no proof that this is true. No proof whatsoever. But that being said, it is 100% true, what I'm about to say.
What?
My theory is that Donald Trump, everybody has said, you know, there, I have seen that Donald Trump is actually Donald. And that they went, you know, in the in Donald's time traveling escapades, Barron was brought back. It is Donald, whatever. And I was thinking to myself, what if Barron, who is kind of, we never really got to know his personality. We've seen him play with his younger cousins and stuff like that a little bit, but he's never been in front of a microphone, and rightfully so. I'm glad he's been preserved for the most part, because now we get to make legends about him. I was saying, what if the day, you know, many decades from now, when Donald Trump dies, Barron is actually the vessel through which Donald Trump gets to transfer his soul into Barron, and then he gets another life, a new life in his old
Did
body.
Did Matt come up with this theory?
No, but I told it to Matt yesterday. He goes, you think it's true? His face dropped. He was like, I want to believe it.
Oh my God, I love him. He's hysterical.
I don't know. We'll see. We'll see. Preparing a vessel.
You think it's true?
Where did you get this? I said, I don't know. I didn't get it anywhere. I'm just thinking of it right now. He said, I don't. It could be, man. It really could. So. But where was he? Because I heard that he's like over. Matt told me he's 6'2". But you say 6'7".
Gigi will take the fall for this if she's wrong. Gigi,
You know, 6'7" is enormous.
6'7". He towers over Melania, towers over her, and she's 5'11".
But 6'7" at his age, I would start thinking, does he have a pituitary gland problem?
Listen, I'm just gonna let. I'm serious. This is what.
Okay, hold on. Barron Trump, July 2021. Let me see. What?
It's right,
New
right?
York. What? New York Post. Newest Trump Tower. Barron shows off his 6'7" height in New York City.
Thank you.
What the hell am I?
Thank you. Barron Trump's height may surprise you. Does Barron Trump have a future in the NBA? 15-year-old, 6'7".
Oh God.
He's huge.
Okay.
Look at this picture. I'm sending you a text. Look at this picture of him next to Donald Trump. It'll blow your
mind. Maybe he's a Nephilim. Maybe this is he's one of the last giants of the old world. That there's something else here. This isn't. There's more to the story. There has to be something mystical. There's something mystical about this story we have to figure out.
Barron is mystical. He is a mystical man. He is absolutely mystical. But look at that picture I just sent you in your text message.
Let me see here. Get the hell out of here.
Uh-huh. Yep.
His legs are as long as his father's entire body.
His legs are my height.
Donald comes up to Barron's hip. What the hell is this?
I told you.
Wow.
Oh, goodness. I had more on election integrity, but this was better. He's great. I love him. You have been listening to the Dark to Light podcast with...
Mi scusi, Val. And...
Barron Lover Beans. You can hear it. Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 2:30 Eastern Time on TuneIn, Stitcher, Apple iTunes, Google Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Spotify, and RadioInfluence.com. We'll be back on Wednesday.
Later.